Well, we were going to have a sermon tonight on the book of Psalms 23, but nope. You can thank Spencer. He had a great lesson this morning. I didn't think it was wise to try to top him. He did such a great job, I figured we'd do something else. So, tonight we want to talk about some scripture, then our base is going to be out of the book of John. If you'll turn to the book of John, chapter 6, verse 59 through 69. John, chapter 6, verse 59 through 69. And we'll read those together, and then we'll get into the lesson. In verse 59, we read, "These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, 'This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?' When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, 'Does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are the Spirit and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning that they who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, 'Therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by the Father.'" And as we read on, he says, "From that time many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, 'Do you also want to go away?' But Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God.'" Our goal tonight is pretty simple, and it is to know more about Jesus and to learn something from what he taught, his thoughts. The best way to do that, of course, is through the scriptures, to listen to the words of Jesus and his apostles and to the words that are spread out all throughout this book called the Bible, and to see how Jesus, how he handles things day to day, how he handles people that love him, and how he handles people that hate him. And of course, we can learn quite a bit from that. And so as we've turned here to the book of John in our lesson tonight, we just want to learn and practice a little bit about connecting dots. I think we've all seen this before. And I see smiles out there. Maybe we ought to print this out and see if you can figure it out without me doing it here. We should skip this part. But we want to, you know, the idea of connecting the dots is you've seen that there's dots and each dot has a number from one to whatever. And you're supposed to draw starting at one and you end up with a picture. Well, somebody that isn't able to connect the dots, a lot of times maybe they don't quite get the idea of numbers. But somebody that has trouble connecting the dots, they may end up with something like that, which isn't quite what it's supposed to be. But if we actually did go through and connect those dots, this is what you would see. I hate to spoil it. I should print this out. Maybe you still want to do that. You know, and it doesn't seem difficult to go from 1 to 2 to 3 to 4, and all the way up to, I think, 69, 70s. There's 70s in there, 72, 75. Listen, it's not that hard. And yet so many people struggle connecting the dots when it comes to the scriptures. They have such a hard time. And as we look at what's unfolding here, you know, if we go back to John chapter 6, and we're looking at verses 59 through 60, somehow these people were having troubles and it just doesn't make any sense that they couldn't connect the dots. You know, the question I had is, what is so hard? Here are these people, they just didn't like what Jesus had to say. And yet, if we were to go back to chapter 6, verses 1 through 24, you know what we would see? We would see that in their eyes, many of their eyes, before their eyes, many of them participated in Jesus who fed 5,000 men plus women and children with a little bit of fish and some bread. You think that through. He fed 5,000 people. And as you look at this account, it was just absolutely amazing. In verse 9, there was a little lad who had, and I quote, 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. And the disciple, Peter, says, but what are they among so many? And then the miracle. Then the power of God is shown, something we should be able to connect to really closely. Jesus was able to take 5 little barley loaves and 2 small fish, and he was able to take those and share them with 5,000 people plus women and children. That is just amazing. So they saw that, the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus then goes up to a mountain alone, and his disciples, when the evening came, they get in a boat and they go over the Sea of Galilee. And now listen, the Sea of Galilee isn't quite that big. To give a perspective, the Sea of Galilee is 13 miles long by 8 miles wide. Lake Erie is 241 miles long by 50 miles wide. So the Sea of Galilee is a little bathtub in Lake Erie. Just a little tiny, probably good fishing, but just little. And so, but they got in their boat there. They were over here, and they were being fed, and Jesus is there, and they get in their boat, because Jesus has gone up on this mountain. They get in their boat, and they row over to the other side. And they're rowing about 3 knots per hour, which is about 3.5 miles per hour. For any sailors out there, and that's if I looked that up right. And normally it would take them about 3 hours then to get across that narrow part of Galilee. But they had strong winds, the scriptures tell us. And as they're trying to get across this sea, that wind is so strong that it made it very, very difficult for them to row. And they were about 4 miles out. And the scripture tells us they saw Jesus walking on the sea. And you can see that in your Bibles in chapter 6, verse 19. This is after they had gone out, they're rowing out of the sea toward Capernaum, and it was already dark. And in verse 18, it says the sea arose because of a great wind was blowing. In verse 19, so when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the water. Another reason to connect some dots here. What man can walk on the water? What man can feed 5,000 people plus women and children with 5 barley loaves and some fish? What's going on here? How can you not connect dots and realize Jesus is a special man? He is divine. He has power from above. And he tells them, do not be afraid. So you take that 5,000. And then the Sea of Galilee's out of the picture. And you ask that question again, what was so hard to understand? They saw the people eat. They saw the boat leave. They realized that Jesus is up on the mountain. The disciples have rowed across. Jesus meets them upon the sea. And then in verse 25, just amazing. The people are looking for Jesus. They find him. They all rowed across the sea and they find Jesus. In verse 25 it says, and when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? You know what? They knew he didn't get in the boat. They knew he wasn't with the other disciples. They came over to look for him, but they can't figure out how he got there. Well, he walked upon the water. But they're not connecting the dots. The second point is, as we think this through, verses 26 through 27, we want to glance at this. And I want you to notice something here. I want to connect dots. Jesus always, always says what you need to hear. He doesn't, you know, he's not embellishing things. And when you read the scriptures, normally everything is just very, very concise and to the point. No embellishment. Listen to what he says. He's answering, how did you get here? And Jesus, he didn't say, well, I walked across the sea. Other disciples knew that, but he didn't say that. That's not what they needed to hear. What did they need to hear? Jesus answered them and said, most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. You see that? And as we read the next verse, do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you because God the Father has sent him, has set his seal upon him. Listen, Jesus wants them to connect dots. He wants them to see, you know, you coming over here, it wasn't because of the signs. If I walked on water, that wouldn't mean a thing to you. You just wanted me to produce more bread. And so he told them what they needed to hear. They needed to hear that. He never answered their question. He never, you know, I have a brother. Now, my brother, I'm not comparing my brother with Jesus. But you can be standing there with a 3 or 4 minute statement, dialogue, leading to questions with my brother, and he'll stand there and look like he's listening intently to every word, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he says, hey, Dave, and he's asked a question about something totally unrelated. You know, Jesus isn't doing that. He's directing them, trying to get them to connect the dots, and he didn't tell them what they wanted to hear. He told them what they needed to hear. And such will be true when you share Jesus in your own heart and when you build him up and you, in the most holy faith, you read and study and learn about the things that Jesus said, the things that he taught, the things that he did, and others will see that. And you'll be able to preach Jesus. You'll be able to connect dots in the hearts of other people. You won't have to tell them what they want to hear. You can tell them what they need to hear. They need to hear about Jesus. They need to understand about the gravity of their sins. We all need to know that. But we need to know that so that we can bring that out into the light to others in the world. We need people to hear what they need to hear, not what they want to hear. And so connect that dot. And we see, again, Jesus did not answer their question. But, you know, he did answer and tell them what they needed to hear. They were asking questions for all the wrong reasons. He says, because you saw the signs, they didn't connect dots. You couldn't get rid of that picture in your mind. Jesus wants them to have everlasting life. He's not worried about filling their bellies. That's an easy thing. He proved that with the bread and the fish. And then we add, you know, what signs are we connecting? Well, water into wine. Many of those Jews would have been there at that wedding in Canaan. They would have saw the water being turned into oinos, right? They would have saw that. Hudor, ginomai, oinah. Water became, and we translate that word wine. They would have seen that. They would have saw that as a miracle. They would have known these things, some of them. They would have known about the nobleman's son in chapter 4 that was healed. They would have seen the man at the pool of Bethesda that was lame from birth, and he picks up his bed and walks, and everybody knew about that. He was being grilled by the Pharisees. People knew. I mean, they even drug his parents in. People knew. And to say the least, 5,000 people being fed by 5 loaves and some fish. You know, what is the problem? Why are that people not being able to connect the dots? You know, we've talked about this so many times in our lessons previous to this, and Bible studies, and even when we read the scriptures ourselves, it seems like we're just blind to some of these dots. In the book of Romans, chapter 1, beginning at verse 18, here's some dots that I cannot fathom not being able to get that telephone picture. Romans chapter 1, verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Connect the dots. What's the Lord revealing here? He says, I'm not asking you to walk by blind faith. That's what people accuse Christians, right? You guys are just blind faith. You're walking around wherever some preacher tells you to go, wherever some teacher tells you to go, wherever some whatever tells you to go, you just go wherever because you're blind faith. We're not blind faith. Christians that are solid in their faith are solid in their faith because they can connect the dots. We connect the dots because, well, God says, okay, Dave, you don't believe in me? Take a look. And I wish I had this with me tonight. I read something earlier about one square inch of your hand, talking about the hundreds of thousands of nerve endings in one square inch, trillions of cells that are in this little square inch. And it's just absolutely amazing, all the things that are seen in that. I'm going to put that in a sermon here, I think, because it's just mind-boggling. You look at the things that are made. Look at the glory of the heavens and the expanse out there and the billions of stars and everything that you see around us, the seas and the mountains and the valleys and the oceans and all that. The life that's teeming in the ocean, in the sky, the birds of the air, and the way that the seasons go, and everything is so perfect, and you can't see God. That's because you're not connecting any dots. I mean, it's like that phone where it has 1, 2, 3, and you're going 1, 9, 57, 42, and you get that scribbly looking thing all over the screen. It isn't that hard. But listen, as he goes on, he says they are without excuse. But in verse 21, he tells us why these people aren't connecting dots. Romans chapter 1, verse 21, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts. Their thoughts. That's how you don't connect dots. You forget about the numbers and you just decide for yourself where that lines are going to go. They were futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like into corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. And we don't need to go any further. We need to be intelligent enough to make one connected two, two to three, three to four. Water into wine, who can do that? Well, nobleman's son healed, and Jesus didn't even go to his house. He did that from a distance. Remember that in one of our it was from a distance. You want to be my son, you know, he's dying. And Jesus, go. He's healed. Who could do that? That man at Bethesda, pick up your bed and walk. 5,000 people. So connect the dots. Realize that God put dots out there for us to look at. And if we don't connect the dots, we don't have any excuse when we stand before the Lord. We'll talk about that in a minute. Third, are you connecting the dots is the real question. As we look at this text, and we go to John chapter 6, verse 68. We see that by Jesus' words, he's telling them, you're not getting this. You know, you're not connecting with me. And so Peter isn't like that. Peter connects the dots. John chapter 6, verse 68. Let's see what happens here. Jesus, John chapter 6, verse 68. Now here, as we look at this, realize what's happening before this. The disciples have heard what Jesus had to say. They heard him say that he is the true bread, bread which comes down from heaven. He hears them say that unless they eat his flesh and drink his blood, that they will never see the Father. They will never see heaven. And they couldn't get that. They couldn't get that. From a man who just fed 5,000 people. They couldn't get it? You know, if you saw that today, would you get it? If you saw a man today take something out of Giant Eagle this big and feed 5,000 people with it, would you be able to connect dots? I think you would. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're a person of faith. I don't care if you're a person without faith. I don't care if you're an atheist. It doesn't matter. If you saw that happen today, you would be able to connect the dots. Well, these people didn't get it. They just didn't get it. So look what happens here. John chapter 6, verse 68. Jesus leads up to this in verse 64. We already read 63. 64, but there are some of you who do not believe, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, therefore, I have said to you, this is verse 65, no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. And that goes back to John chapter 6, verse 45. If you want to take a look at that real quick, in verse 45, Jesus says, it is written in the prophets, and they all shall be taught of God. Therefore, anyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. So that's how we come to the Father. Verse 66, and from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? What happened here? But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of life, of eternal life, and we also have come to believe. And he didn't just say, he qualified, and to know. We've come to believe and to know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Think of that. He connected dots. Is Peter better than you? Is Peter better than me? Is Peter better than anybody in this world? Absolutely not. In fact, Peter is a troublesome kind of guy. He's pretty pushy and loud and pretty quick to react without thinking sometimes. But he connected the dots. Okay, Peter, I was there at the wedding. I was there when the nobleman's son was healed. I was there when you fed the 5,000. I know you walked across the sea because I was in the boat when I was out there 3 miles into the sea, and I saw you walking on the water, and here we are, and they're all leaving, and I don't get it. I just don't get it. Why are they not following you, Lord? Why are they not following after the Christ, the Son of the living God? Well, it doesn't matter, because as far as I'm concerned and as far as the disciples here are concerned, we're connecting the dots. You have the words of eternal life. And we have come to believe and to know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. There's some dots there that we want to connect. We need to connect. You know, there's real simple dots, and I don't want to chase any rabbits, but the simple dot is David Scarpino is a sinner. And I want you to say, I noticed, you need to notice here, I didn't say was. David Scarpino is a sinner saved by grace, being molded and trained every day by the Word of God to be better, to avoid sin, to hate sin, to abhor sin. I'm a sinner. I'm no different than Paul. I'm no different than Peter, Philip, Andrew, Matthew, James, you name it. I'm no different than any of you here today. The only difference between some of us is that some of us are able to connect the dots and say, you know what? I would be a liar if I said I wasn't a sinner. I'd be a liar, right? In First John chapter 1, if anyone says he has no sin, he's a liar, and the truth is not in him. So if you're in this room today and you want to connect dots honestly, go from 1 to 2. You're a sinner, and you need to be saved. It's that simple. And so here, they missed the point. John chapter 6, verse 30. What did they miss? Our fathers ate manna in the desert, these people said, when Jesus, I'm the bread of life. I am that food which endures to everlasting life, verse 27. And verse 29, this is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He sent. In other words, Jesus. And all they could say is, what sign are you going to perform? What are you going to show? People today, even people today, I got to hear you speak in tongues. I need you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I need you to show and manifest all these things before my eyes, before I'll believe. Jesus says, they said, we need to see you do something, Lord, that we may see it and believe. They just saw Him feed 5,000 people. They went from dot 1 to dot 60. Really? What did they not? Wait. Therefore, they said to Him, what sign will you perform that we may see it and believe? Believe what? Believe you. Really? What work will you do? Really? Are we like that here in this room? Is there anybody here today that sees the dots and the numbers, but they're jumping around from number to number, place to place, and not putting things in their proper order? They saw Jesus feed the 5,000. They were there when it happened. They were eating of that fish and of that bread. And they had the audacity. Are we like that today? Are we waiting to see some sign so that we can believe? You know, the fact that this book is right here in my hand is a sign that you should believe. And you know why? Because for centuries, men have tried to destroy this book off the face of the earth, and they could never do it. This book is still here. This book is always going to be here. No matter how much people hate it, it's here. There's a sign. How about just believe that? Anyway, they missed the whole point. You know, Nicodemus in John chapter 3, he got the point. He saw the things that Jesus did. Nobody can do these things unless he be from God. He saw that. He connected those dots. He came to Jesus in the night. He wanted to know what he needed to do. And of course, Jesus told him, you must be born again. You must be born again of water and of spirit. Now, he didn't connect that dot real quick, did he? It took him a second. Nicodemus, you know, he's going from dot 1 to 60, and he's going, what? I got to go back into my mother's womb and be born again? No, Jesus, no, listen. Jesus didn't say that. You must be born of water and of spirit. Born again. Baptized for the remission of your sins. But he finally got that. Nicodemus. You know, by his words, Jesus is trying to make this all clear to us and to anyone who's on the face of the earth. But they missed the point. Boy, they missed the point big time. They did. John chapter 10, verse 37. John chapter 10, verse 37. Look at that. If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. If I don't do it, don't believe me. But if I do, verse 38, though you do not believe me, believe the works that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in Him. Now listen to that phrase again. If I don't do the works, don't believe me. Because then I'm a phony just like everybody else. But the Son of God on the face of the earth, the one who just fed 5,000, the one who just healed a nobleman's son, who went back water into wine, walked on water, all that, the Son of God, He says, but if I do things, you see me do things, you saw me do things, though you do not believe me, believe those things that you see. Romans chapter 1. Remember that. We just read it. Right? He gave us everything that we can look at, the things that are made that prove His power and His Godhead and His majesty. He says, believe the works that you may know. Now, you notice that phrase, know and believe. Remember Peter said, we believe and know. Thou art the Son, the Christ, and the living God. He says that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I am in him. What does it take? What does it take? John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31. So way over here towards the end. Second to the last chapter in John. John chapter 20. Verse 30, and truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may connect the dots. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. You may believe. Connect the dots. Nicodemus connected the dots. You know, in verse 67, back here and where we started, in verse 67, Jesus asked them that question, right? Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? And what you need to notice there is very important. Peter, he did go away. Remember, Peter denied Jesus and he wept bitterly. You can read that in Luke chapter 22, verse 61. He wept bitterly. Even cowering down in fear, John chapter 20, verse 19, the disciples, they all went away after Jesus died. They cowered down in a little room in Jerusalem, hiding. But he found courage in Jesus. And he came back and he connected the dots and he knew that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God the whole time. And then in Jerusalem, on the day of Pentecost, Peter got up with the other 12, with the other 11, and he got up and he boldly preached Jesus to those Jews, the same crowd that many of them shouted, crucify him, crucify him. He connected the dots. It doesn't matter what they say. It doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what I feel. What matters is connecting the dots in truth and in righteousness. God has manifested himself in everything that's made of creation. Connect the dots. The scriptures are here and they shouldn't be here because men hate this book. Connect the dots. On the day of Pentecost, Jesus was preached by Peter. Acts chapter 22, verses 33 through 36. He gave a great message of Jesus, of repentance. We need to connect the dots. In Acts chapter 4, after being threatened not to speak about Jesus, remember, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you to God, you judge, but we cannot help but speak about the things that we have seen and heard. You've got to connect the dots. And one must notice, Jesus never sent anybody away. Right? Verse 35. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Verse 37. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast him out. Jesus never sent you away. He never sent anybody away. Connect that dot. Because if you're not there, if you're not connecting dots, the one that gets sent is yourself. You're sending yourself. It's like postmarking yourself, packing you in some kind of box and saying, ship me off to some place that I don't really want to go. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. What is the will of God? God desires that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And the time will come when we will be sent. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, chapter 15, verse 24, the apostle, he writes that then comes the end. You get that? Then comes the end, he says. When he delivers the kingdom of God to the Father, and everything will be destroyed, and everything will be wiped out. So you have a choice to make tonight. You can connect dots or not connect the dots. Again, Jesus never made you stay. He doesn't send you away. But he did let us know exactly what is going to happen to those who do connect dots and those who don't connect dots. So we'll close out our lesson tonight with the book of Matthew. And we want to go to Matthew chapter 25, beginning at verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the glory and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on His throne in His glory. And all the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats, and He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on His left. And the King will say to those on His right hand, "Come, you blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. And I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." And then the righteous will answer Him and say, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick and in prison and come to you?" And the King will answer and say to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of My brethren, you did it to Me." So there's one group. These are people that have connected the dots, understand they're sinners, were baptized for the remission of sins, added to the body of Christ. And then He goes in verse 41, "And then He will say to those on His left hand, depart from Me, you cursed, into everlasting life, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." And then they will also answer Him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick and in prison and did not minister to you?" And then He will answer them, saying, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to Me." Verse 46, "And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." You have two groups. One group connected the dot. The other group didn't connect the dot. One group is going into heaven to see the Father for eternity. The other group is going to hell to be separated from the Father in eternity. You connect the dots in your life. You connect the dots. And if you connect the dots rightly tonight, you realize that you're a sinner and you realize that you are not saved by the blood of Christ, tonight is the night to make that all right and to have a relationship with the Lord. Connect the dots. We have a song of invitation, 837. What will your answer be? Will you connect them or not? It's up to you. But if you do desire to deal with any troubles you have tonight, I invite you to come forward now as we stand and as we sing. Someday.